You, Craig? Craig sounded irritated. Nice, Father Bloody Christmas, come a week early. You can see me on a CCTV. Agar says you've got to say the password. Nobody gets in or out without it. Okay, Craig said, taking a big breath and tightening his fists. The password is, open the door, you little knobhead, or I'll stick your skull through the wall. After a pause, bolts started clanking inside the heavily reinforced door. When it swung open, Craig advanced 3 steps and gently cuffed the skinny teenager on the other side. Password, Craig snorted. You're going the right way by getting a slap. But Jake didn't take the threat seriously. Boss's son, he teased as he led Craig up steps covered with frayed carpet. You'll probably have to call me sir someday. You're Agar's stepson, Craig corrected. When he loses interest in your mother, he'll ditch you like weak old bread. The conversation dropped because they'd rounded the top of the stairs and stepped into a large room. There were blackout blinds at all the windows. At one end was a pair of long desks and an electronic money-counting machine. The other end of the room was a chill-out area with wrecked couches and a big screen TV showing Sky Sports with the sound muted. The two men in the room were touching 50 and seemed intimidated by Craig's bulk. "What's been happening?" Craig demanded. 316,000, the taller of the two men said as he pointed to a large safe. Vacuum wrapped into 10K blocks. The other safe's got 212, and there's 18 kgs of cocaine in the sports bag. Craig's brow shot up and one of the men took a frightened half-step backwards. Are you messing with my head? Craig blurted angrily. Who said to send drugs to the count house? Why didn't someone call me? Jake answered. Piece of business went bad. It was an emergency, like. Agar said there's a lot of merchandise and this was the safest place. Craig shook his head with contempt. It was a basic rule of drug dealing that spanned millionaire kingpins to kids hustling £10 bags on the street. You always keep money and merchandise separate. Any pick-up scheduled? He asked. It's just you and Jake on guard unless something changes. Okay, then, Craig said, looking at the money counters. Get yourselves home to them wives and not a peep to anyone about our 18 packets of powder. A couple of crews came up short, one of the oldies said, pointing to a notebook on the table. Archway firm as usual. It's all in the ledger. A few swings of my old baseball bat usually loosens their pockets, Craig said, relishing the prospect of some violence. Jake gormlessly mimed the gesture of a swinging baseball bat as the two cash counters headed for home. Once they were through the steel door at the bottom of the stairs, Craig made sure they'd cleared the building on a security camera before going down and putting the bolts back across the steel door. When he got back up, he was again irritated by the bulging sports bag filled with 18 kilos of cocaine under one of the desks. Apart from a few assault charges, Craig had always stayed out of trouble with the law and had never been to prison. Getting busted guarding a house full of illicit money would mean a 3 to 5 year prison sentence. A house full of drugs and money would up the sentence to 10 years, and the thought sat uncomfortably as he dumped his jacket on the couch. Jake shouted from the kitchen. There's a city match on Sky in a bit. I did run to Sainsbury's earlier. What do you fancy? Is microwave curry, hot dogs, or I could do bacon, egg and chips? Craig made a grunting sound before speaking. Oh, I'll look in the fridge in a second. I've got to go upstairs for a shit. I can start cooking, Jake said. Craig tutted. We're on guard for the next 12 hours, kid. What difference will waiting for me to take a crap make? Craig grabbed a copy of The Sun off a coffee table before heading to the bathroom on the top floor. The toilet was rank, and the only cleaning product was an empty bottle of toilet duck which he lobbed into the bathtub in frustration. I'm sick of dirty scumbags never cleaning up after themselves round here, Craig roared as he pulled down his tracksuit bottoms and settled onto the toilet. You say something, boss? Jake shouted up. Never bloody mind, Craig said. Then to himself as he shook his head, 12 hours stuck here with that dumb ass. It was a regular bathroom apart from the LCD screen which flicked between images from 8 different CCTV cameras. They showed everything from the count room and stairs to the unoccupied lower floors, the back garden and the street out front. There was also a controller which enabled you to pan and zoom each camera. As Craig aimed a huge fart into the toilet bowl, he was disturbed by a rustling sound behind his head. Thinking it was a mouse or a cockroach, he rolled up his newspaper to take a swipe, but instead of an insect, he saw that a gloved hand had punched through the plaster wall behind him. Before Craig could do any more than turn his head, a needle stabbed the flab between his shoulder blades, and the hand injected a syringe filled with a fast-acting sedative. As he slumped forwards on the toilet with jeans around his ankles, a woman in a hockey mask began quickly but quietly knocking out chunks of plaster. Within a minute, the fist-sized hole was big enough for the woman to clamber through. To make it, she had to shove Craig's chubby, unconscious body off the toilet. As the woman, who was named Kirsten, knelt down and placed 2 fingers on his neck to check for a pulse, her 13-year-old niece, Faye, stepped through the hole. Is he okay? Faye asked. Kirsten and her niece were of similar height and dressed identically in hockey masks, black jeans, hooded fleeces and black Converse All-Stars. All of their gear was covered in plaster dust. He'll come round in a few hours and ask